heart so that we're all on the same page, because we're working together with our young people. And just want to read this chapter, Psalm 127. And the school ministry is of great value, and that is because we're working with a great treasure, because children are a treasure. Children are a treasure. The first mention, kind of indirectly, but the first mention of children is in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. They're in the very first chapter of the Bible when God made male and female and then commanded them to be fruitful and to multiply, because it was God's will that there be children. We see the value of life, and God always puts a value on life. And no difference here. In Psalm 127, let's read the chapter. We do here, if you wouldn't mind, to stand for the reading of God's Word, just to respect the Word of God. And we're going to read Psalm 127. There's only five verses, but please follow along. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Father, I pray that, Lord, you just please give us a moment around your word and teach us, encourage us, strengthen us. Thank you, Lord, for this ministry. Thank you for the importance of it. And Lord, we love you. Bless this time. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. As I said just a moment ago, God puts value upon life. Keep something here, because this is where we'll look at tonight. But look real quick with me in Exodus chapter number 21, because this is especially in the day and the time of which we live. Exodus chapter number 21. And in verse number 22, Exodus chapter 21 and verse number 22, you'll see here God's value upon life. In Exodus 21 and verse number 22, God's giving the law here, how to handle different situations and different punishments. And you see here a very important principle in Exodus 21 verse 22. If men strive, so if two men are fighting, and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. Now, you learn a couple very important principles here. All right? Now, what is being said here, again, the Lord's giving instruction to Israel and says, if two men are fighting, and there's a lady there that is expecting, and she is in some way injured or stricken, even if it wasn't on purpose, and the person that strikes her, whatever happens, she gives birth. Now, if that child is born, the fruit is departed, the child is born, and the child's okay, there's still a punishment. But if mischief follows, verse 23, if the child dies as a result of this, then you give, what's it say at the end of verse 23? You see a couple very important principles here. Principle number one, that when that lady's expecting, that is not a bundle of tissue. That is not some cells. God said, that is a child. That is a child. And then God adds further to that, that if that child dies in this altercation, then the man that caused that, his life should be taken, a life for a what? So what is within that lady? A life. A child that has life. He said, why are you mentioning that? Because our country did a travesty this week. And I know it's, you know, probably the Christian thing to do to talk about that, but it's sad. And we ought to take, you know, one of the most mature spiritually men that you ever find in the Bible, and that's not my opinion, this is what God said about this man, that he was perfect and upright. His name was Job. And whenever Job found out that he lost his land, when he found out he lost his barns, when he lost his wealth, but you read Job chapter 1, when they came in and said, your children have died, he rent his clothes, he fell on his face, and he began to cry out to God. as Christians, and I've been reading a lot, and people are saying, you know, so what can we do? We ought to be mourning for what our country's decided. And I know it's New York, but that ought to bother us. We ought to be crying out to God because it's wicked. It's murder, and it's taking a life. It's taking a life. We all need to have, in the Lord's attitude there in Luke chapter number 18, when the disciples sitting with the children, you know, he don't have time. Remember what he said? He said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. So what are you trying to say? I'm saying that children are precious to God. Children are precious to God. And I also just give you something to think about, not the message tonight. But throughout history, every time when a people have turned their back upon children and had them slain and killed, babies and infants and all children like that, God was every time about to do something big. Think about it. There with the Hebrews in Egypt, Pharaoh commanded all the boys be thrown into the Nile River. God was about to do a great deliverance. Amen. Herod decided that all children 2 years and younger should be killed. Something great was happening at that time. Amen. And while it's a travesty what's going on, it's just a sign of the times. Without natural affection, we're getting closer. Amen. Psalm 127, look at that real quick with me tonight. I want to look at the value of children. The value of children and why the school ministry is important. It's not because it's something to hang your hat on. It's not, something that's, you know, to be proud of or even to take a school ministry is just that. It's a ministry. The church, you know, it's a ministry of the church. You know, you can't put the tail in front of the dog, right? That happens a lot too. But it is exciting and a not great opportunity to have this ministry because of these reasons. Look at verse number 3 real quick. Because number 1, children are a heritage. It says in verse number 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Let me reword that. Children are a gift from God. They're a gift. They are a heritage. You know, some of you maybe have received an inheritance, right? All of us that are saved, we are joint heirs with Christ someday, amen? In other words, we get to inherit what we didn't come up with, right? Someone else did. And that's I find that very important to look at in this verse, that children are a heritage. Understand this, their reward. It's children are something beyond you. They were given to you from God. They're a gift. They're a blessing. They are a reward. They are a prize. You say, why are you saying that? Because it shows you just so much how abortion is so evil. And while I think every one of us in this room would agree with that and how wicked it is, yet it doesn't just stay with just unborn children. You know, I do a bus route, and we knock on doors, and half the parents that send their children are doing it for one reason. They just want to get rid of the kids. They just want the kids out of the house. And I hope that no parent in this room has that attitude towards the children that God's blessed you with. My wife and I, you know, when people are getting married, we do pre-marriage counseling with people, and you know, we'll talk, and one of the questions I will always ask before, you know, I perform a marriage ceremony is, you know, have you talked about children? And more than once, they've looked at her and said, no. And then always, it's fun to ask, a little insight on being a pastor. I love asking this question when they haven't talked about it. I'll say, well, how many children do you expect to have? Both of you tell me at once. And it's great when they were like, 7, 2. Whoa. And they look at each other. Yeah, you guys need to talk. All right? Yeah, all right? But the fact is this, you know, I've heard Christians have sat in my office and said, I don't want to bring a child into this world. You say, well, the world is wicked. Sure is. But I'm glad Moses' parents didn't have that attitude. I'm glad Elijah's parents didn't have that attitude. I'm glad, you know, you go through history, there was a lot of times whenever it wasn't probably a convenient time, but they are a blessing. Yeah, and we live in a world today, and you notice it's true that children are abused. They're mistreated. They're unwanted. And that's a shame. It's a shame. Children are a gift from God, and they ought to be looked at as such. They ought to be, you know, we as a church should thank God for the children that God's placed in our church. We as individuals should thank the Lord for children. And listen to me real quick, all right? God has placed children in every one of our lives. You may sit there and say, well, what? We don't have any children yet, right? You are influencing children. And what a great opportunity you have. There was a lady that I think I've told you this before. I know I've told my Sunday school class. There was a lady that God never saw fit. She never married. And at first she struggled with that. Then she gave it to the Lord. She never had children of her own. But there came a point in her life when she said, God, I'm going to invest in everyone that you'll let me to. And I cannot tell you tonight the impact that that lady had in me and my sister's life. She invested in us, and not just us, but many others. She's in heaven tonight. But she decided not to throw her hands up and quit, but said, God, I'm going to invest in young people. And I'm telling you without hesitation that part of the reason I'm standing here tonight is because of the investment she made in my life. Times when I was at college, she would write me a letter, just say, I want to encourage you. When I went to college, she got me a set of Bible study books. She invested. You never know. They're a treasure. They're a treasure. They are a heritage. Number two, children are our helpers. In verse number four, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Arrows in the hand of a mighty man. You know what a mighty man can do with arrows? He can put them where he wants and use them effectively. By the way, a mighty man can point and put an arrow where he wants to put it. That's what a mighty man does. I just want to point this out. It doesn't say as arrows in the hand of a man. I'm going to try not to preach too hard right here. You know what a mighty man is? Hey, dads, listen to me real quick. A mighty man is disciplined. A mighty man is dedicated. A mighty man is dug in. A mighty man is devoted. You're all quiet on me. Amen. David's mighty men, when times are rough, they stood. When they were outnumbered, they didn't give up. When the impossible was in front of them, they made it happen. They were mighty men. They knew what needed to be done and would not quit until it was done. And we live in a day today where men, sadly, too many of them are sissies. They quit when the going gets rough. They turn away from their family. They walk away from their children. And I'm just telling you right now, you're not a mighty man. Not according to God. Amen, preacher. I mean, we want our children to turn out right. We want them to head a certain direction. We want them to be successful in life. Well, listen to me. You can sit there and say, well, it's them kids. Well, I understand they have a free choice, and I get that. But listen to me. It starts out as being in the hand of a mighty man. We have a job to do, dads. We have a job to do, to be that mighty man and to point them in the right direction. The other day, and I hope this don't offend anybody, the other day, I took my teenage daughter, Grace, and I took her, and we went shooting, and I taught her how to shoot. It wasn't like 5 minutes later till she was teaching me how to shoot, all right? The girl's better than I am, all right? don't ever mess with her, right? But I was showing her how to do all that, and, you know, I told her, and I gave her what I knew to teach her, right, which pretty much I got everything I got from Brother Salih. But I was showing her and telling her, and I taught her how to look with her strong eye. I said something really simple to her. You're going to hit what you aim at. If you stand there with your eyes closed, who knows where it's going, right? But a lot of people parent that way. We sit or we tell our kids, hey, kids, you need to go that way when we're living this way. Guess which way they're going? Oh, I expect them to go that way. Quit fooling yourself. You know where they're going to go? Where you're pointing them. You know what they're going to head to? What you head to. Where your eyes are focused is where their eyes are going to be focused. It's parent-teacher fellowship. Be nice. I'm trying to get us all on the same page, right? That's truth. A mighty man will discipline himself, will dedicate himself, will determine to himself that I am going to point my children this way by God's grace. This is where we're heading. This is where we're going. And we'll stick to it. And then what happens there, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Boy, a mighty man can do a lot with arrows going in the right direction. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to see your children walk in the truth. And I know they got a free choice. That's the truth. Everybody does. But we have an obligation as parents to point them in the right direction. And may we do our best. They're a heritage. They're helpers. And then lastly, in verse number 5, they are happiness. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. You may look at me tonight. I have 3 children that God's blessed me with, me and my wife. I know one family has 18 children. One that has 12, one that has 1. I just told you about a lady that of her own had 0. But I'm telling you, she's in heaven today rejoicing in all the children she influenced in her life. I have 3 children. Praise the Lord for them. But look at me real quick. I just don't have 3 children. As of tonight, I got those 3 plus 48 others that come to school every day. Plus about 50 others that come to church every Sunday. I enjoy coaching the basketball team. I enjoy it. We have fun. We say things that we just won't share. But we have a good time. But I love investing in them. I love them. I don't do it because I have tons of free time, and I don't do it, you know. My wife asked me last year, Alex has graduated. You're not going to coach anymore. I was like, yeah, I am. Why? Because I love them. I love them. I love investing in them. I thank God for them. Some of you teach Sunday school and junior church. God's put children in your life. Invest in them. Because there's not much greater joy than to hear your children are walking in truth. A lot of times you say, yeah, you know, Alex, Grace, and Hope. Yes, absolutely. But I'm telling you this too. There's no greater joy, too, than to know those kids that graduated last year are still going in church. A lot of you know Wendy, Carol, and she started riding our bus. She got saved. She's faithful to church, loves the Lord. Every time I see her, my heart rejoices. Rejoice. Brother Chris Brown, he's an assistant pastor in Illinois, Pekin, Illinois, Bethel Baptist Church. He got picked up, his family did on our buses. Chris got saved. Right there, I'll never forget, he knelt down right there and accepted Christ as his Savior after graduating high school. Chris studied for the ministry here at our church, and now he's serving the Lord as assistant pastor, got a wonderful wife and children. Thrills my heart to see my children walking in truth. It's a great ministry. Invest. Because there's that's a heritage. Say, there are helpers. I'm just being honest. I don't know what Kazadel Baptist Temple would do without the work that our young people put in around here. And I know there are work too, right? Right? I get that too. But man, what a blessing they are. Why, many are just rolling out of bed on Sundays. They're sitting on a bus that's 20 degrees. Get ready to go out and knock on doors and sit with kids and sing with them. I don't know how many times they've cleaned the church. They've mowed the grass. They knocked the doors for Bible school. There are helpers. They're arrows. Quite effective when pointed in the right direction. And there are happiness. Every parent, hug your children tonight and thank God for them. Every teacher, thank the Lord for someone to invest in. Every father, let's be a mighty man. Let's do what God wants us to do. What a blessing. What a blessing the heritage is that our children.